the Holy Archdiocese of New Zealand
of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis, with my co-host, Presbytera Katarina Patitsis, and we're here to share with you some things about the upcoming feast of the celebration today of the Akathist hymn and this Sunday celebration of St. Mary of Egypt as we come to the fifth Sunday of Great Lent. We look forward to a wonderful program today. Thank you for joining us. Bermacho, which you will be hearing again tonight. Tonight, we will be singing the hymn called the Akathist Hymn. Now, if you are a little bit familiar with the Orthodox Church, you have heard the term Akathist Hymn before. And in the Russian tradition, they also refer to the Akathist Hymn. They call it Akafist. They pronounce a TH as an F. But it's Very ancient kind of a prayer and hymn, patterned after some of the work of the very influential hymnographer, St. Romanos the Melodist. And what he did was he created a series of hymns that have a refrain, in this particular hymn, there are two refrains. One is, Hiera nymphia nymphefte, rejoice, O unwedded bride. And the second, Alleluia. And all I can tell you is it's one of the most lovely hymns ever written. And it was written around the year 600, if you can imagine. So quite old. The other thing that's important to know about this particular hymn is that it's in 24 stanzas, each stanza beginning, 24 sections, I guess you might say, each one beginning with a different letter of the Greek alphabet, and the Greek alphabet having 24 letters in it. So it starts with the Alpha and ends with the Omega. And even though you will hear some of it tonight, of course tonight if you come to church you'll hear the whole thing, you'll be surprised how many pious monks and nuns have actually memorized this whole text. Presidente?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
And thank God. Thank God. So, have you ever seen Archbishop Pamphilokios, our newly retired bishop, Archbishop? Have you ever seen him say the Akathist by heart? Did you ever notice?
No, I've seen him do a lot of very different kinds of prayers by heart, and I would also add that even there's obscure prayers that we only say once a year that he knows by heart.
Yes, he also knows the entire Akathist. By heart, these 24 sections, he can say them by heart.
Yeah.
And part of the reason he can do that is because there is this alphabetical order, and also there is a an internal rhyming that makes it a little easier to remember. And it's sometimes there's contests. You know, there was a. You remember that Father Christodoulos who visited us,
yes.
Who was a chanter from Manathos? He had it memorized, and they were sort of testing each other one time.
Oh, really?
Father Christodoulos forgot one part of it. He thought he had the whole thing memorized. But, you know, when you're sort of on test in front of the Archbishop, I suppose he got a little nervous. So
That's right. He was here at Easter time, wasn't he,
yes.
During Lent? And then
he forgot a little part, and then the Archbishop, you know, patiently corrected him.
He patiently corrects everybody.
So I've never even attempted to memorize this prayer, but it's certainly memorizable. Can we play a little bit of it today? Do we have anything else from the Akathist?
Do you want to hear one of the sections of the prayer or another one of the hymns?
Yeah, let's see if we can hear, Angelos Protestatis. Do they have, is that searchable on that? And if not, then maybe we can just play another hymn for now.
I think I just need to move this thing over. See, I've never narrated what we do here on the...
Well, no worries. I'll take up some...
Number three. Let's see if that one works.
Oh, okay. I can just talk in the background if need be.
Ουρανόθεν επέμφθη, υπήντη Θεοτόκο το χαίρε.
Υπεραγία Θεοτόκε σώσον ημάς.
Άγγελος πρωτοστάτης, ουρανόθεν επέμφθη, υπήντη Θεοτόκο το χαίρε.
Υπεραγία Θεοτόκε σώσον ημάς.
Και συνδυά σωμάτου φωνή, σωματουμενών σε θεωρών Κύριε, εξίστατον και ίστατον, κραυγάζουν προς αυτήν τι αυτά. Χαίρε δύση χαρά εκλάμ.
If I can read you a translation of this beautiful part of the hymn, this is the beginning of the Akathist itself. And by the way, the word Akathist has a meaning, and the meaning is to not sit. So those who said the Akathist did it standing. If you know a little bit of modern Greek, you know kathise means to sit down. It's a command, sit down, kathise. Kathizoi, sit. So Akathist, without sitting. Yeah, alpha privative, as they say in grammatical English. Without sitting. He says, an angel of supreme rank, angelos protostatis, was sent down from heaven to say to the Theotokos, Here, or rejoice. And perceiving you take bodily form at the sound of his bodiless voice, O Lord, he was astonished, and he stood shouting to her such salutations. Now, for those of you who are anxious to hear that this is scriptural, this is a poetic explanation or a poetic enhancement, enlargement, amplification, they call it, and sometimes in Bible translations, of the scripture. So we can't say that it's word for word in scripture, but at the same time, everything that is said is perfectly holy and beautiful.
Well, Father Nick Pallas would say it's also a very literal description of what's happening in scripture. I asked him one time, it's poetry, it's also very literal. I thought that was interesting.
In other words, Angel really did say these things, huh?
I don't know. Maybe he meant to say analytical. I don't know. But it's just the words that I remember him saying. And
yeah. No one was there but the Virgin Mary and the Archangel to know what exactly he said. But certainly the context or the content of the hymn is anything that any of us could so be happy to say. For instance, rejoice through whom is the joy to shine forth. Who is the joy? Christ. So rejoice, you, for joy is going to shine forth from you. Rejoice, through whom is the curse to vanish. Eve ate the apple, or whatever fruit it was, the forbidden fruit, and received the curse, as did Adam. But in this new Eve, the curse is vanquished and vanishes. Rejoice, restoration of Adam, the fallen one. Rejoice, the liberation of Eve from tears. Presidera, it might be, I'd like to just hear, this is all kind of impromptu, but maybe read a few sections and just give us your thoughts, because you're so familiar with this hymn as I am.
Beholding herself wholly kept in chastity, boldly says to Gabriel, she who is holy, the exceptional tidings of your voice seem difficult for my soul to accept. For what do you mean, pregnancy, by unseated conception, crying, Alleluia? Curious to know knowledge that is knowable to no one, the virgin cried to the angel, How is it possible for a son to be born of inviolate loins? Tell me, please. And he, with fear, replied to her, albeit shouting thusly, Rejoice, initiate of secret counsel. Rejoice, assurance. What calls for silence?
Okay. I want to know your thoughts on that. You have some insight on that, I think.
Well, which part?
Just the rejoice part, the part that's kind of poetic, let's say.
Assurance of what calls for silence. Well, what's happening is so sublime, so waited for, so needed, so did I say longed for?
No, yeah, longed for.
So longed for that it requires silence, and yet she is the assurance of that very thing. Rejoice, introduction to the miracles of Christ. I think that's self-explanatory. Oh, wow. Rejoice, consummation of his articles of faith. It makes me think of her history, where she came from, how faithful her parents were, and the people who were around her. Rejoice, heavenly ladder, by which did God himself descend, which is prefigured in the Old Testament with the ladder of Jacob. rejoice yeah. bridge that conveys unto heaven earth-born men.
So she's a ladder that Christ descends upon earth. I mean, that's, you know, we can say it's poetic, but it's also true.
Yeah, that's, I think that's what Father Nick meant by, you know, being literal. Rejoice the wonder most renowned among angels. So of all the angels, of all the things that they know, they see her as wondrous. They've never seen a human being like her before. Rejoice the wound greatly bemourned by the demons. So once she comes into the world and prepared to bring Christ to us, the demons are pretty upset.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the incarnation itself is the wound that they can't undo, because it stayed. You know, they might have tried their best to keep it from happening, but it happened. God became man; it took flesh. So, what I wanted, we're going to play another song. I think President has something set for us, but then I want to share with you just some of the sort of spiritual significance, how this hymn came to be. So now, how does this hymn come into existence? What we need to understand is that the early church saw a link between the death and resurrection of Christ and the moment of his conception. I know that might seem strange to us, but a lot of people have said, and they think that they know this with certainty, that the Christmas date was set as a counterbalance to a pagan celebration of the rising of the sun or the summer, winter solstice or something. But actually, there's a much more ancient understanding, and that is that great people were considered to have been conceived and die on the same day. So Christ is dying on March 25th or thereabout, and so it's assumed that he was conceived, granted miraculously, on the same day. And then if it's the 25th of March, then you just count ahead 9 months exactly, assuming that since he's perfect God, he would be an also perfect man, and his conception would be full 9 months. So that puts us at December 25th. So believe it or not, that is the original origin of that feast. And the Christmas wasn't celebrated from the earliest Christian era, But the point that I'm making is not about Christmas. It's about how Pascha and the Annunciation were linked in the mind of the early church. So here as an example, we have already passed March 25th. We're already in April 11th or 12th today. I don't know what today is there, actually. But so we haven't, we're in the 12th of April, but we're still looking at this feast because in the mind of the church, the Feast of the Annunciation and the Feast of Pascha are linked. Do you have some thoughts on that, Presbyter? I mean, probably kind of obvious in some ways, but maybe not to everyone who's listening.
No, I mean, I think that it's more. Sorry for my silence. It's more literal what we're hearing in this hymn than really the dates of when Christ was born and when he was conceived and when he rose from the dead and all of that, because it's just enough that we stop and commemorate these things, and that the Holy Spirit made it possible for us to commemorate these things so close together. It should be what's significant for us, not necessarily the exact date of when things happened. And so this is kind of like a collective synergy between what happens with a collective, meaning the, you know, we talk about synergy between God and man, meaning God and one man, God and one person. But this is one where God now is interacting with a body of people. And so it's something that we, in listening to the Holy Spirit, have found significance in these two things. And both of them are considered feast days of Christ, very important to us, very important that he came to take on flesh, to become one of us. He didn't have to. And the other is that he came knowing that he was going to suffer and die. He came knowing that he was going to endure, even in his relative homelessness in his life on earth, for the 3 years that he did his ministry, he was, it wasn't glory, and yet he speaking to us his purpose for coming into the world and knowing that he was going to suffer and die.
Well, I want to compliment what you're saying and just add a little bit that, yes, you're right. It's not the, although the church certainly had the impression that March 25th was the day, here we are way past the physical day of March 25th, but we're still linking the feast of the resurrection and the crucifixion of Christ with the Annunciation, meaning that the two are like two sides of one coin. God cannot come and die for us if he isn't also born for us. And in the mind of the church, that moment took place when a woman, a simple, humble woman of great holiness granted, said yes to God. So there's the human element, even if it's small. I mean, it's not so small as to be insignificant. And there's the divine element of God's condescension. And so there's this meeting, this wonderful meeting between the humility of the Virgin Mary and the divine condescension, or we could say extreme humility, of God, who takes human flesh. And as you said so beautifully, Presbyter, he comes also to die. It's not just to be born. He comes from the moment of his incarnation to die and to rise again. So that's kind of brings us back. I mean, if we look at it, is it A, B, A? We have A is the joy of birth, B, the death, the sadness of the death, and A again, the joy of a new birth in the resurrection of Christ. Last week I talked to you about this hymn also, and I remember telling you that here they were, what was the inspiration of the writing of the hymn, and it was that they were in a very difficult place militarily. Their army was away, and they were being attacked from two different foreign forces trying to conquer the city of Constantinople. And the people said, well, we only have one general left. That's the Virgin Mary. And she is always successful in battle. She's our hipermajo stratego.
And, you know, throughout our Western life in America, the Virgin Mary is presented to us as this almost child bride, which, again, it's hard to understand. I could go into a few things psychologically about where she might have been compared to where our 15-year-olds are when they conceive a child. But at the same time, think of her as someone who got hit unawares by the message of the angel, and that there was nothing to prepare her before that. And yet, by the time we get to the Byzantine Empire in history, she's seen as one of the most powerful women that ever existed. And it's very hard to communicate that to people of a Western mind, the Virgin Mary as a powerful woman.
Well, you said it well. I mean, here she was, a person who was formed in a very holy and loving home. She was formed in hearing the scripture and worshiping in the temple. Her uncle was Zacharias, the prophet, I mean, the father of John the Baptist. So she had every proper formation to become a very devout and holy person. And then, according to our church tradition, she was even fed by angels as she was living in the temple. So she had many, many spiritual experiences. But if there was any surprise to her at the incarnation, of course there was, but it was a surprise born of humility. She would have known that there was a prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, because anyone who'd read the book of Isaiah knew that. But to think that she would be that person would have been the farthest thing from her mind. So we're happy to share this with you today, because I wanted to share this idea that Pascha and Annunciation are linked in the mind of the Church. They're, like we said, two sides of the same coin. And also that there is a prophecy that when the Lord comes again, it will be on one of those days when Easter and Annunciation fall on the same day. So what a lovely time for us to meditate on God's love and providence.
Awed by the beauty of your virginity and the exceeding radiance of your purity, Gabriel stood amazed and cried to
thank you for listening again today to our radio program. As always, it's the ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, headquartered in Wellington, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Metropolitan Miron. We are going to close with one more version of that song, a lovely version with children's voices. If you're able to join us this evening, we're going to begin services at 106 Western Springs Road in lovely Western Springs at 7 p.m. and concluding approximately 8:30.